and welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Man, I am so happy. I just got back from an amazing trip at our new beautiful 6,000 square foot indoor training center. We have these amazing kennels that they're not even like kennels, they're like a hotel room. Beautiful, beautiful place on acres and acres with our horses in the back. This place is just off the wall beautiful. And, you know, it really had me thinking about, because it is not in New Jersey, it's actually in the Midwest, and it's just gorgeous, I can't even tell you. Beautiful, beautiful place. But there are so many dogs who don't have that privilege of living in a beautiful place, and a lot of dogs are actually out, in the weather, in the elements. There are a lot of dogs in shelters and rescues, and you wonder, you know, we have all, depending on what region of the country we come from, we all have kind of a different perspective of, you know, what works and what doesn't work. Well, you know, if you live in, you know, in like Texas, or you live in California, or you live in Florida, and you leave your dog outside while you're at work, you know, obviously that's not a big problem because, you know, the dog can stay outside. And, you know, if you live in Texas, especially some of the warmer areas, the southern areas, or you know, different places that are kind of a warmer climate. But it's not just leaving the dog outside. What happens is the dog is exposed to many different elements, not just weather, but bugs and parasites. The dog can also be exposed to, you know, obviously the heat, but to different things that a dog that's inside would not be exposed to as far as diseases. You know, when a dog is allowed to roam at large, very often, not that the dog is, you know, not happy running around, but, you know, that's what people say, oh, well, let them go back to nature. Well, to a degree, yes, let them go back to nature. But where the problem arises is that in nature, animals don't live that long. Think about back to, you know, the 1800s and even the early 1900s. You know, you had a plague. Look at what's happening right now with Ebola. You know, you've got people who are contracting a disease that's, you know, basically incurable unless you happen to be one of the medical personnel who happen to be exposed to it. But meanwhile, there are hundreds of thousands of people dying of this disease in Western Africa right now. So same thing with dogs. You know, dogs are not all, you know, we've domesticated them. We've changed a lot of things. They're still dogs, that's true. But their characteristics and traits have definitely changed quite a bit. And because that has changed, we have to remember that, you know, you can't take a little Maltese and leave it outside and expect it not to get fleas and ticks and you know, sand fleas and you know, even certain places in the South have fire ants. Some places also have poisonous snakes. So it's not just a matter of leaving your dog outside with water and shelter. Your dog really shouldn't be unattended for a long period of time because there's so many other perils. One of the things that I've seen it, and I've seen it in, you know, in a lot of places in the country, is little dogs like Maltese, the little toy poodle, especially lighter colored dogs, they go outside and hawks grab them out of the sky. I saw a bald eagle, well, maybe it wasn't the bald one, but it was an eagle. Very obviously, I was with someone who was an ornithologist, so they knew. But, you know, if you look at, you know, hunters, whatever the animal is, especially birds of prey, you know, a hawk, it's very easy for a hawk to swoop down and grab a 4-pound dog out of your backyard. The best way to avoid it is by covering it up or by having posts. You have to have a lot of things that are high up that the animals, that the birds of prey can't get through. But, you know, it's just kind of common sense. But, you know, I keep saying, you know, common sense isn't always all that common. You know, a lot of people still do what people do because people are people. You know, I was talking actually, and it was, I want to do a little shout out to a lady who will know exactly who she is. She's in California. She was assisting us at one of our events in California, and she stood around for most of the day. This was about, 3 weeks ago when I was out in California last. And basically what happened was Savannah had indicated on her that she had some kind of a pretty serious, strong, alert that this woman had something wrong with her. We didn't know what, but I pinpointed it, and I realized that, you know, this was definitely, a reproductive type thing, you know, women's cancers, as you men say. And based on where she was alerting, I pretty much pinpointed two or three different causes that could be responsible for this. So I asked the woman, lovely, lovely lady, I said, you know, my dog tells about cancer. And that's actually not that she was on the TV with us, but we were on WABC in California. It was about, like I said, about 3 weeks ago. You can look at our Facebook or on our websites at unitedk9professionals.com, merlinskids.org, or on our Facebook pages, and definitely like our pages. And you can see we were, you know, working with the cancer detection out there. Well, I know I might have digressed, but I think this is a major shout-out that needs to be shouted out. We tell people very often that, you know, hey, you need to go to the doctor. You have this potential issue. Sometimes, most of the time people go, but sometimes people just think it's like, oh, all right, it's a bunch of hooey. This person is just telling me, like my good friend Cindy L. from International Firefighter Cancer Foundation always says, that walking around with me and my dogs, Wyatt, Savannah, Wispa, and the group, but walking around with me is like walking around with Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, except instead of seeing dead people around, we see diseases and different issues and conditions, health issues, physical issues that can be causing problems. Well, this nice lady out in California who was hanging out with us for the day observing, Savannah alerted very strongly to her, and I begged her, and I said, please do me a favor, whenever you can, please go to your gynecologist and get these things checked out and have them do this, this, and this test. So, you know, I hadn't really thought of it because, you know, you don't want to push people. But she actually did go. And I just got a text message back from her last night that her doctor said she has an early stage cancer, that he was very surprised that you know, he or she had found it. And asked about, how did you guys find this? How did you know it was there? Because it was a really early stage cancer, but it was cancer nonetheless. And this lady had not been to her OBGYN in over 5 years. So with that track record, you know, women, please do self-exams and check yourself out, because our dogs are great if they're near you, but if you live far away and you never meet us and you never work with our dogs, you'll never know. That, you know, that these things exist. Well, fortunately, so this lady is going through her testing now, but who knows, it might have been 5 more years, and she might have been dead in a year. So when you have a feeling, and this is just to advocate for yourself, for the love of dog, please take care of, for the love of humans, please take care of yourselves, and, you know, let people know what we do, because that is so helpful. We're working with three major cancer hospitals right now. We're bringing on another. We're working with a major glass manufacturer who's really wonderful. We're working with a huge insurance agent, company who's a major insurer. There are a lot of great things happening. Keep an eye on our website, www.unitedk9professionals, and also merlinskids.org. We will be right back with some really cool stuff. Stay tuned.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA, from family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. I just love saying that. I just love our show, and I love a life. And, you know, it's amazing. There's so many wonderful things we can do with our dogs, and there's wonderful locations. What we're going to start doing, obviously, our Wyatt's list is actually being built right now, our pet-friendly pet directory of pet-friendly hotels, and, of course, veterinarians, doggy daycares, miscellaneous items and locations. So that's going to be a great, great thing for everyone. But, you know, there are these wonderful, wonderful locations around the country where they're very, very dog-friendly. And, you know, people really need to be able to enjoy their dogs. What really is heartbreaking for me when, you know, I go places with Wyatt, who's obviously unaltered because he's a, you know, grand champion show dog, but he's just... he goes with me all over. We visited our great Pyrenees neighbor and our really cool-looking goats and the horses and all the animals around us. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to take your dog to all these pet-friendly locations. I mean, yes, Wyatt is a service dog, so it's not a big deal. You know, I can go anywhere with him anyway. But, you know, there are just so many wonderful locations like Austin, Texas is a wonderful, wonderful place. Rochester, New York. Or as we say, Rochester. There are some really great locations. Lewiston, New York is a beautiful place, very pet-friendly. And there are places all over the country that you can bring your dog. Well, you know what the problem is you can't bring your dog if your dog is dog-aggressive or people-aggressive or reactive or fearful. So we end up not enjoying our dogs. And that is just heartbreaking for me because I can go anywhere with any of my dogs. I can throw three of them in the back of my vehicle. I have a big Lexus SUV, and, you know, I fit three. I've put four in the back there. I've had seven or eight, you know, big puppies in there. But it's just such a heartbreak for me to see so many people who can't enjoy their dog. And you love your dog, and you just want to do all these wonderful things and go places and do, but you can't because your dog is behavioral issues. So let's talk about one of the most common behavioral issues that keeps people from bringing their dogs out. People with dogs with bicycles. People with dogs with baby carriages and strollers. That's such a common thing because, you know, you have to look at things and think about how does a dog think. Think like a dog. That's my phrase. I even trademarked that. Think like a dog. Stop thinking like a human. Think the way the dog thinks and see things from the dog's perspective. Because if you are looking at that dog and pretending he's a four-legged little human, he's not. And it is doing him a huge disservice for you to be treating him like something he's not. It's not fair to your dog for you to do that. Now, does that mean you should treat your dog badly? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. You should treat your dog better than you treat your husband. Well, hopefully you do that anyway. You should be treating your dog like a family member. But you have to understand that dogs don't think like humans do. Like I always joke, men and women are almost the same species, and we don't understand each other. So it is so critically important for everybody to treat their dog like a dog. Give your dog what your dog needs to be a great dog. Then you can do whatever you want with them. Then you can dress them up. You can take them for a walk. You can you know, sing to them. You can do a dance with them. But the problem is that if you don't give the dog what he needs and how he understands or she understands, you're not communicating effectively with that dog. Now, that doesn't mean you need anybody like my good friend Susan Squitieri, who's up in Rockland County, New York, who's a pet communicator. And yes, if you spoke with her and a couple of these other people, these pet communicators, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a bunch of hooey. Let me tell you something. Some of these people are really good at what they do, and they really do know dogs, and they really are able to communicate. Well, Susan just sent me a very nice lady. I mean, what a sweetheart. And unfortunately, her dog had, Susan had mentioned to this lady, her dog had had some experiences prior to when this family got the dog. And so, you know, how do you fix that? How do you fix a problem that is, you know, that happened before you got the dog? Anybody who's rescued, and God knows I've rescued a lot of dogs. We're actually rescuing another bloodhound from Georgia today, and she's adorable, two-year-old, gorgeous bloodhound. She'll be in our cancer detection program. You know, how do you teach and how do you communicate with a dog who had a trust issue? So let's go back for a moment to wheeled things and things moving quickly and shiny things. Well, if you have a dog who is from one of the, either the sporting breed, the herding breed, which is a big one, or even some of the sight hounds, the gaze hounds that we call, like an Afghan or a greyhound, how do you communicate with a dog and try to teach the dog that you're not going to hurt the dog? I'm not going to hurt you, buddy. Well, as humans, we say, oh, it's okay, Fluffy. It's okay. I'm not going to hurt you. But what the dog hears is, it's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be lunging. It's okay to be doing whatever it is in that moment that you happened to be doing or that happened to be happening to that dog. So let's say the child on the bicycle with the spokes and, you know, and the wheels and the baseball cards and making all that noise is coming right at you, coming right towards you. Well, how does the dog think? Well, the dog can think in several different ways. The dog first could think, uh-oh, what's that dangerous, scary thing coming towards my mommy? I'd better protect it. Or the dog could think, what's that dangerous, scary thing coming towards me and mommy? I better run away from it and break off my leash and run somewhere because I'm really scared. Or the dog could think, what's that big, dangerous, scary thing coming at me? I better lunge at it or I better bite whoever it is. The dog can think in many ways. Well, what we need to do is desensitize the dog to things that it's going to be exposed to. But like I tell people, stop flooding your dog. I tell clients this. I've fixed more than 25,000 dogs with behavioral issues. I typically do 3 classes a day, sometimes only 2. I do somewhere around 15 classes a week, plus working out at my shelter at 11th Hour, which is the best rescue shelter in the entire universe, in my opinion. And, of course, our Schnauzer Rescue in Houston, they're wonderful, too. We work with some amazing shelters and rescue people. But you know, your problem is, if we think like humans and we think, oh, look, there's a kid coming on a bicycle, but the dog doesn't see it as a bicycle with a child. The dog sees it as an object that is coming towards it. The dog isn't thinking. The dog is reacting. Now, where do we wind up with a big, gigantic problem? And we're going to go into this in the next segment. We wind up with a big, gigantic problem because dogs look at things in a different way than we do. So what happens is as the dog is coming forward or the item is coming toward the dog, it's starting to invade the dog's sense of space and safety. So the first time a dog is exposed to, let's say, a bicycle or a baby carriage should not be when it's barreling towards the dog and you, at, you know, record speeds flying across on some little, you know, 8-year-old on his stingray going do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like Margaret Hamilton in The Wizard of Oz on her bicycle trying to get Toto. You have to think like a dog, and we are going to talk about that and how to prevent incidents and accidents, like Art Garfunkel said, in just a moment. So please stay tuned for the Love a Dog.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolfe. Well, we're talking about how to prevent phobias. You know, there's nothing better in the world than preventing something from happening before it happens. But there's a big, huge disconnect and difference between being aware of something and cautious of it versus being fearful and wary about it. Now, think for a moment. When we drive, and we're, you know, driving in the car, and, you know, there are crazy drivers out there, so I might be talking to some of them in the radio right now, but when you are driving your car, and you are moving, and you're going out, let's say, into an intersection, the people who are dangerous are not you who make a decision and go. The people who are dangerous are the ones who aren't sure. Uh-oh. Let me be careful. Uh-oh, should I go? Should I not? Should I go? Should I not? I don't know. Maybe I should go. Maybe I shouldn't go. Because if you go, then other people can make a decision based on what you are doing and what it appears that you are doing. Where people get in trouble, and same thing with dogs, is they're very tentative. So you don't want to be tentative with your dog. If you are walking your dog and you're going out, you are the leader. You are in charge, and no one can hurt you and your dog because you are super leader. You're super mom. And if you go somewhere and you're worried, and I know that's very common in Texas and some of the other areas where there's, you know, more land and there's stray dogs, well, then try not to go to those places. And if you have to go there, whatever you have to do to protect your dog, you have to do to protect your dog, whether it's from a human who's going to hurt it, or a child, like the little bratty kids who were walking by my house today and throwing stones at my dogs and yelling at them and trying to taunt them. And I just calmly walked up to the fence. I said, honey, you know all these dogs can jump this 4-foot fence, don't you? And the little girl said, no. I said, well, they can. I said, they can jump it right there. And the little girl's like, I didn't know that. I said, well, I hope you can run real fast because you're going to need to. Well, I mean, I don't want to scare the kids, but I'm not going to let somebody hurt my dog. That's just not going to happen. Well, same thing. Don't think that, like, oh, okay, those kids were taunting your dog, Janet. What you have to think is, how does your dog perceive it? So when a bicycle is coming towards and there's, you know, a noise or there's shiny or something, the dog sees that as a danger, as a threat. And what does he do or she do? Your dog looks to you as the leader. Your dog looks to you to provide and to protect. And if you don't do it, that's when your dog is going to decide, uh-oh, maybe I better help out. So how do you handle that situation? Well, first of all, like I said, don't flood your dog. Don't do so much that you give the dog no choice and that the dog winds up having to, be on his own and being protective for himself. What you need to do is walk toward it like you expect to go towards it. Walk towards it like I always joke. There's a Fendi bag sale. There's a Jimmy Choo shoe sale. There's a sale on fishing rods. There's a sale on motorcycles. It's 90% off your favorite thing that you love to collect. Hummels, whatever you collect. Dogs, if you're like me. Dogs and horses I collect. So, but that's the key is don't be tentative. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. If you're nervous or fearful, how do you expect your dog to look at you and say, yeah, I've got confidence in that leader, when that leader is a pile of mush? You've got to have that in your head that there is a difference and that difference is extremely important. And honey, if I'm letting you go and I'm taking you down to that big scary bicycle or that big scary carriage or that big scary, motorcycle or garbage truck or whatever it is, if you go with confidence and you go that I am the leader, we are going there, and you don't stutter step, like my husband always says, you don't stutter step, you don't backpedal, you don't go, uh-oh, because if you lose confidence in yourself, how do you expect your dog to have confidence in you? I wouldn't have confidence in you. If you were driving, and I have one friend particularly, it's not Jody, so don't worry, but I do have a friend, I will not drive with her. She scares the living daylights out of me. She goes halfway into an intersection and stops and backs up, and she'll do that a few times. And this is not a young person. I mean, not old, but not young, in her 40s. And so it's been a lifelong friend. And, she'll go out, and the way she drives, I get scared. I mean, it's pretty hard to white-knuckle me. I'm white-knuckled in her car. And we're not even going far, or we're not going fast. So think like a dog and imagine what your dog goes through every single time you have that uh-oh energy. And I tell people, once you get the uh-oh energy, you're done. You lost. Tighten up your class, finish up, go to somewhere else, and then get your energy and your mojo back, and then start again. Because the problem is, if you are not confident in yourself and your abilities, which many of my clients are not prior to, when I work with them, and some people do take longer than others, that's why we give a lifetime guarantee at UnitedK9Professionals.com. Because we deal with humans. It's not usually the dog. Very rarely is it the dog. I've done probably 4 in the last 2 years out of 2,000 or 3,000 dogs I've worked with, probably 4 that it was actually the dog. But typically it's the human. So just imagine, and it's funny because it's not even like it's only confined to the dog. People who tend to be good leaders tend to be in upper or middle or upper management, or on their way up. They tend to be in positions of power. They tend to be those people who we have confidence in, who we want to be friends with. They draw us to them. They draw us like magnets. And, I've been told that, a lot of my friends and people I'm around, and I'm very grateful for their very kind words, but people say, we want to be with you. We want to learn from you. We want to be around you because you're positive and you're energetic. And you're smart, and we learn from you, and we want to be there, compared to, we have to go take our class at, in college. Oh, I hate that professor. I don't even think she believes what she's saying. That's the kind of thing that I want you to imagine. So if you're the kind of person who loves your dog, but your dog doesn't really, I don't know what they respect, but doesn't kind of trust your judgment or trust you to be able to do certain things, look at yourself in other aspects of life. Do your kids walk all over you? Does your husband walk all over you? Does your wife run, go out with her girlfriends and say, I can't stand it anymore. Will you just stand up for yourself, honey? I love you, but come on, be a man. Start looking, because honestly, I've seen it time and time again, and typically the people who have a harder time making decisions and being decisive. No, that's not that you're going to make a bad decision and stick with it, but make a decision. Just make a decision. And that's where kids, and some of you may have been those kids, you come up, you spend an hour, you know, a half hour on a question, or you spend, you know, 5 minutes figuring something out on an SAT, you know, the standardized achievement test and scholastic aptitude test and the ACT. And these people, and this is what I taught for years and still do, these people, you know, spend like 5 minutes on a question and then they go back and go, oh, maybe I was wrong. I'll change it. So if you have that kind of personality, how do you expect your dog to follow you when you don't follow yourself and have confidence? So a lot of what we talk about at United Canine Professionals and what we're doing at our national convention, which is coming up in only a couple of weeks, a lot of it is just understanding how you have to change, because if we can't change our human, our client, then we can't change the dog. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back with some other wonderful and important and exciting things. Stay tuned for the Love a Dog.
Brown's new book, The Public Bank Solution, takes off where her previous blockbuster, The Web of Debt, left off, presenting an historical overview of our corrupt, failing, dysfunctional international banking system. The Public Bank Solution examines an alternate that actually works.
And welcome back to For the Love a Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking about you. We're talking about your getting confidence in yourself so that you can change your dog. I think part of the reason why people tell me literally when I'm in their house for 15 seconds and they say, my dog always jumps, bites people when they come in, whatever it is, why isn't he doing that with you? Or my dog never comes up to people. Why is my fearful dog coming up to you and sitting and asking to be petted? He never does that. Because I have confidence. Now, we're talking about not being a narcissistic egomaniac and going, yes, dog, I'm going to control you because, you know, I can control anybody because I'm so wonderful. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an inner confidence. Actually, this is a self-help. This whole show today should be called How Do I Change Myself to Be a Better Leader for My Dog? Because that's what it's about. So when I walk in, and it doesn't matter where I walk in and what the dog's doing, whether the dog is severely aggressive, and yes, I get bitten. You know, I don't get bitten all the time, but I get bitten pretty frequently. I usually post them on our private Facebook group for United Canine Professionals, and I say, welcome to the wonderful world of Level 2, or welcome to the wonderful world of Level 3 Plus dogs. But we have a lot of fun with that. But the problem is, if you're not confident in yourself, if you can't get past whatever issues you may have, then you're going to probably face the same thing where the dogs in your life, not just one dog, not just two, but every dog pretty much that you have, has some kind of issue. Now, not long ago, I met a lovely, lovely woman. She's a client, and she had this very cute puppy. I mean, really adorable puppy. It was maybe 6 months old, and she had this puppy, and the puppy's starting to growl at her. Now, when you say the puppy is growling, well, why is that puppy growling? Puppy shouldn't be growling at somebody, right, or lunging at somebody. But the puppy is going through fear phases. At 6 months, it's going through a fear impact and flight instinct. So it's going through two different fear phases. And the lady, who is a sweetheart, she's a nurse, actually. Sweet, sweet lady. I mean, I wish, you know, I mean, I love my mom. She's 89. I adore her. But, I mean, this lady is the kind of Andy Griffith, you know, mom that you wish Opie had. Just a lovely person. But she lacks confidence. She's just more of like a doormat, you know, and that she's a pushover. So she's with, you know, we were talking and we spent about 4 hours, because normally our behavioral rehabilitation classes through, you know, United Canine Professionals, our natural canine behavior rehabilitation classes typically last for about 3 to 4 hours. So what I did was, of course, working with this lovely woman, we started going back through her history, and not the dog history, but with her. And she said, you know, my kids have no respect for me. My husband is nasty. I love him, but he's, you know, he's not really always nice to me. You know, I've always been the kid who got picked on. And she said, it's not that I wasn't popular, but I was always like the milquetoast. And you have to think about it. A lot of my clients have, you know, they're great people. I mean, most of my clients, other than the one crazy one that I had, most of my clients, other than one, really love their dogs, and they're mentally balanced. All that's happening is they don't understand the dog. But this lady was the sweetest person you could imagine, but she lacks confidence in herself. She'd had now 4 dogs who all had different types of aggression. 4 different dogs of different breeds, 2 rescues, 2 purchased from good breeders. And you think after a while people would say, wait a minute, why do I keep getting dogs that are either dog aggressive or people aggressive or food aggressive when, you know, I'm a nice person, everybody likes me, and, you know, I really am a good person, but why is it that the dogs are not respecting me? Well, you know why? Because you don't respect yourself. You have to be able to be confident. And it doesn't mean that you're going to do everything right, but be confident. Like I say, even if it's wrong, sometimes you just got to do something. Because if you don't do anything and you just keep going the way you've been going, well, that's a definition of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That is crazy to do. So for the lady who has the 4 dogs, including a beautiful little 6-month-old puppy, which is, I believe, a border collie, you know, if you're not confident in yourself, you have to understand that the dog isn't going to have confidence. How can a dog or a child or a husband or anybody respect you if you don't respect yourself? It doesn't mean that you're mean or you're bad, but you have to, and I like I say to people, you can't demand respect, you command respect. You command respect by setting rules and by teaching others that, hey, I love you, but that is not acceptable. So extrapolate that now from what we were talking about into what we spoke about earlier about going toward a scary object, whether it's the light rail in Jersey City with little Olive, or whether it's, you know, being afraid of babies, or it's being whatever. I remember this wonderful lady, Jennifer, who we actually keep in touch. I was probably there first like 5 years ago, and she, or maybe it was more, and she had a little pit mix. Just, I love this dog. Just the best dog in the world. Well, she called me in tears, and I hadn't seen her for probably 2 or 3 years prior to that, and the dog had been doing great. Called me in tears. Hi, Janice. And I was like, recognized who it was. I said, hi, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Please tell me, I won't say the name of the dog, but please tell me that, you know, Opie is okay. Oh, no, she's fine. She's fine. I said, so why are you crying? I'm pregnant. I was like, oh, my gosh, congratulations. That's wonderful. And this poor girl in her early, I guess, mid-20s, is sobbing and bawling because she's pregnant. And her dog, years before I fixed it, had killed 2 dogs, attacked a cat, killed groundhogs, and multiple others, and had bitten a baby in the foot, you know. And this poor young lady was terrified that, she didn't, and she says, I don't want my dog to kill my baby, and I don't want to put her to sleep. Wow. That was one of my, you know, memorable ones, and I still keep in touch. Well, what I did, and I was back there, we give a lifetime guarantee, but I mean, I was there a lot. But what I had to do was work with her. I worked with her for weeks and weeks, and then we introduced, you know, some of the other techniques that I use and that we at United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids use. And when I explained it all to her and showed her, We changed her. So her husband, who was a great guy, he and I worked really hard with her and showed her, hey, we'll put a muzzle on the dog. See, the dog can't bite the baby. Well, the first day that she came home with her beautiful, beautiful baby, now she has two children. They're, I think, 4 and 1, or maybe 3.5 and 1. Now, what we were, you know, wound up doing is building up the confidence in her so that when she came home from the hospital, guess who was the first person to hold her baby besides her and her husband? I was, and I brought the baby into the house and showed her that, hey, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I got it. And the dog learned the confidence from me, and then I gave that confidence over to the owners. And the dog has been great, no issues, no problems, been great with both the kids, and they're living a happy, healthy life, and everything's great. But that was not that my changing the dog, although, yes, I did work with that dog quite a bit. It was changing the owner so that the owner had confidence. Because once the dog felt the confidence of the owner, then the dog felt, ah, it's okay. I don't have to provide and protect anymore. It's a beautiful thing. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with our next part of For the Love of Dog. Don't miss it.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. It is so great to be here with you all on Friday evening. I am so excited. We're talking about dogs and phobias. What we're really talking about is how do you change in order to make your dog change? And that's what we're talking about tonight. This is not about your dog all the time. Yes, dogs have behavioral issues. And it's not that you anticipated and said, ooh, let me see if little, you know, Ginger is going to be dog aggressive. The first time something happens is the make it or break it time. And that's one of the things I teach when we've got our UnitedCanineProfessionals.com, when we're training our new canine behaviorists in natural canine behavior rehabilitation. And if you or somebody you know might be interested in doing this, check our website at United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals, with an S, .com. And you can possibly, if you have the right energy and if you have the right drive, you can apply, and, you know, 1 in 10 people gets through and actually gets accepted to our class. We will be starting a new class in about 4 weeks. So it's very exciting to be able to learn about all these things and understand, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. Because if you don't understand why, then how do you expect to fix it or make anything good or right? It's very, very difficult. So super important to do is if you or somebody you know, you can call us at 1-855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS, or our website, as I just told you, unitedk9professionals.com. Or if you're interested in learning how to either train therapeutic facilitation dogs or to become a paraprofessional or professional in a school to learn the therapeutic facilitation or behavioral intervention, like our dear, dear Casey Butler and Laura Ferment and Anita Butler and Missy Grello and a lot of other people all over the country. Kim, I forgot Kim Slauson. And so many other people around the country are learning. You know, there are just so many amazing ways of learning how to handle your dog. What people, I think, mistakenly assume is that they have a dog and that it's all about the dog, and it's not all about the dog, not at all. It's about how you change and how you impact your dog's behavior. So if you are not able to change what you're doing, and that can mean you're a fearful person, you're an uncertain person, you're a tentative person, nobody in the world can change the dog if you are not willing and able to change. It's kind of like trying to love an alcoholic out of his alcohol or change somebody who's a smoker. How many people know somebody or are that person who cannot quit smoking cigarettes even though you want to? Well, I can hide your cigarettes. I cannot buy you cigarettes. But if you want that cigarette, you're going to have that cigarette. It's the same thing with dogs. Not that dogs want cigarettes, but people with their dogs. It's like if you don't want to change and you don't want to do things because your dog needs you. And like I say to people, when your dog has a behavioral issue, your dog needs you now. He doesn't need you in 10 years when he's in the ground. He doesn't need that after he's crossed the rainbow bridge. He needs you to step up to the plate and to be what he needs now. Well, how do we do that? Well, the way we do it is by making sure that we have the confidence, we have the understanding, we have the control, and that we have the ability to change ourselves so that we can be a great leader for that dog. You'll have such an incredibly different dog just by you doing different things. If you don't do the same things, the dog will not do the same thing. So if you're not used to, like, let's say, going up when you see, you know, something coming forward and coming toward you, and you're used to going and going, uh-oh, that looks like a day. Oh, my dog doesn't like strollers. Well, if you're going to run away and live in, you know, Strollerville, which, you know, doesn't have a stroller in it, if you're going to go live in a place that doesn't have that, then you didn't fix it. That's like, you know, somebody hiding people's cigarettes. You hide them like you think they're not going to find it somewhere else. It's not that that behavior is going to go away. It's that you're preventing it instead of correcting it and moving on and teaching that that behavior is not okay. So think about it. When is it okay for somebody to hit you? Is it okay for, you know, a baby who's like 2 years old to like smack you in the face and push your face? Most people would say yes. No, it's not okay because a baby is going to grow up. So now is it okay when that baby is now 4 years old and he's pushing you and punching you in the face? Well, he's still little. And now is it okay when he's 8 years old? And when he's a 12-year-old, and when he's a 16-year-old, now when he's a 25-year-old man or a 40-year-old man, is it okay for him to punch you? Well, if you didn't teach him when he was a baby that that's not an acceptable behavior, then don't get mad at that person or that animal because you never told him that it was something you didn't want. You avoided it. You hid it. You locked him in the crate. You put him outside. You didn't teach him. So you can't get upset with an animal or a person when you've never taught that animal or person that that was an unacceptable behavior. Now, we're not talking about hitting a dog. We're not talking about reprimanding. We'll never, ever, ever use a prong collar, choker chain, electric shock collar, which they call electronic training collars, you know, whatever, okay. It's not about that, because that's the wrong energy. It's not about penny cans and squirt bottles and teaching a dog to fear you. It's not about ever making a dog afraid of you. You don't want the dog to be fearful of you. You want the dog to trust you. The way we deal with a fearful dog or a dominant dog is to teach the dog confidence in us, that we are going to be able to handle any situation that that dog might have, and any situation that might come up, we are the ones who are going to be able to help that dog. So that's why I said this is really a lot about the humans. So let's say you get a new puppy, and you don't expose that puppy to, you know, socialization when it's young, or you adopt a puppy who's already a little older. That doesn't mean that if that dog is aggressive or showing a tendency that it can't be fixed. Of course you can fix it. I fix it all day long. I fix, you know, maybe 5-6 dogs a day I work with every day for, like, you know, 300 days out of the year probably. And I work with, you know, 20 or 30 rescue dogs on a weekend. So I'm doing a lot with that, plus all the people I'm dealing with. You have to just understand that in order for you to be making sure that your dog doesn't have a behavioral issue, you have to have the confidence in yourself. And your dog will feel that confidence, and he will understand that he is safe, he's protected. It's not about the dog, it's about you. And if you can pull that in from your deepest, deepest reaches of your stomach and pull that out of yourself and say, you know what, I love my dog, I'm not going to let him be aggressive, I'm not going to let him live in fear, I'm going to change me, and I'm going to be confident. And then if something happens, that's when you have somebody from United Canine Professionals come to your home. You can call us at 855, the number 4, letter K, number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 1-855-4-CANINE-PROS, or on the website, or you can email us via the website at unitedk9professionals.com. And we'll help you. We'll help you for free on the 800 number or by email. And if we feel that it's a case that we need to help you with, we'll come to your house. We'll send one of our amazing people in 37 states and 8 countries over to help you so that you are able to have the best dog in the world. Well, it's been a little bit of a self-help day here. So I hope everybody has a wonderful, spectacular weekend. It's going to be beautiful here in the Northeast. I know what the weather is here because I was just out in the Midwest at our new training facility. It's amazing and huge and beautiful. So our weather is a few days behind here from where it was, and I know we had some gorgeous weather there. So if anybody has questions, comments, anything else, we're talking about dogs, and for the love of dog, please come back next week and join us again. Take care.